This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Bit of Pretty Woman for you there. Roy Orbison, good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, I think. And along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us. It is Monday, November the 9th. It is 6 days, I can't figure it out, since the election. We're still talking about it. We are going to be talking in a few minutes with Elizabeth Slattery of the Pacific Legal Foundation. We're going to talk about the Supreme Court's hearing of an Obamacare law that may help bring it down. So stay tuned for that. And the counts continue in 6 states, totaling 71 electoral votes, to ensure who is president. We're going to talk with the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceraci, about whether there is any chance that Trump can prevail in all of this, and also about the behavior of Republicans out there if he does not. And the stock market, have you taken a look this morning? It's like 1,300 points. It's all about news that Pfizer, you know, the drug company, close to a vaccine. Wow. Maybe a little too late for Donald Trump, but we're close. We're going to take a look at the news and the possibilities. And also, in our ultimate top 10, you know, we've got what? We're still arguing. How long will we be arguing about who's won this race? Well, we're going to give you the top 10 closest presidential elections. See if this one coming up is going to be anywhere near the number one. So stay tuned for that as well. By the way, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza, which is just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. You guys, you want the best haircut in Tampa Bay? This is the place. Take down this phone number to call for a reservation, 727-733-3773. Great haircut, great price. Also, never forget Good Morning Clearwater, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. precedes our show here on the TAN Talk Radio Network. Paul and Tracy Allen, they'll start off your day with all the latest in the news and entertainment and sports. Ed's talking with them all the time. I'm very jealous, Ed. I thought you were my friend. But you talk with them all the time, and they do a great job. They also can create some beautiful posters, a business card, flyers, whatever you want. Good Morning Clearwater. All right, wow. The stock market is, is that because of Joe Biden this morning? I don't think so. Let's see, it's about 1,170 points up.
Well, you know he's going to take credit.
Well, why not?
He's going to take credit.
Too. If he had been in Biden's
shoes. It's because he's been officially nominated the presidential nominee for
I mean, he's been officially considered elected, I guess is what you meant. Yeah, he's the president-elect unless something happens. But stock futures have picked up major momentum, along with oil, also part of the positive news. Well, this COVID-19 thing, I guess they have a 90% success thing with Pfizer. That's good news. I wonder how quickly we will get that thing into the hands of the people and the doctors, and you know what I mean.
Says it's 90% effective blocking the virus.
That's good news, isn't it? Maybe it's worth we ought to get it out there, right? So the Dow Jones, as I said, is really rolling right now. And here's a note from the Pfizer chairman. He said, today is a great day for science and humanity because the first set of results from our vaccine trial provides initial evidence of the ability to prevent COVID-19. That's very good news.
It's amazing what about $40 billion will do, huh?
Yeah.
That and a president that cut the red tape out and said, yeah, get it moving.
He did, didn't he?
He's already hooked. I mean, he's already got distribution ready to go.
You know, you always appreciate somebody after they're gone. You ever notice that?
Oh, they will eventually.
The movers and shakers.
Yeah.
You always. I don't know what Biden is going to do.
A year from now, the people that voted for Biden may go, shouldn't have gone this way.
This is the wildest time.
$5 gas.
Yeah. Oh, please don't even think it. All right? Don't even think it. Now, President Trump is not giving up. He's planning to bring back his large-scale rallies. Did you know that? His large-scale rallies. It's over, Donald. It's over. Nobody's going to bring back the rallies. But these are going to be focused on his ongoing litigation. So he wants to, I guess he wants to rally his base. Maybe to take to the streets and go over to the precincts? I don't know. According to a report by Axios, Trump's campaign plans are going to take a less traditional path to challenging the election, including the rallies. He's also planning to use... I don't know why I'm laughing. Is this too little, too late, right? Trump is also planning to use obituaries of people who allegedly voted but are actually dead. You know, I got an email the other day from this guy, and he said, if that worked, I would have had my mom vote. Of course, she's been dead for about a year and a half. You know, I don't know. I guess you got to look at the funny side of everything right now. But Trump, to his credit, he is not giving up, and I don't blame him. I don't blame him. I got over here. We got six states. They are 71 electoral votes. And the ones that I still think are a shot for him are Arizona, which has 11 electoral votes. And believe it or not, Pennsylvania, which has 20. Now, that's 31 votes. And by the way, 11 of those votes are going to be pulled away. The Arizona votes would go away from Biden because they've already officially, but not Pennsylvania yet. If you know what I'm saying. So, anyway, there's still a shot.
Well, the thing is...
still a shot.
The thing is, Paul, if there is chicanery going around in one state, don't you think there's other states that did it too?
I will guarantee you, personal guarantee, I don't know how valuable it is, that the Philadelphia precincts cheated to some extent inside Philadelphia. They've been doing cheating there for a long time. They got cheating down to a science. Now, I can't speak for the rest of the Pennsylvania area, but Philadelphia is where the difference came for Biden, right? That's where it came.
Right.
And as far as dead people, you know, there'll be a handful. I don't think the dead people thing is going to, if you want to know the truth. I just think there are fraudulent votes.
And then the Georgia and the North Carolina vote, they were done, but all those late Biden votes kept coming in from somewhere.
Well, and they keep saying, well, you know, we got these inner city precincts and it's much more, there's more votes there and it takes us longer. Well, you know what? Why does Florida do it well? That was a good article.
That was a surprise.
No, not so.
I mean, usually it's been the butt of every joke that Florida's had the problem.
We've got it figured out.
Right.
And one of the things we do is we do early counting. Did you know that, Ed?
Right.
We do early counting, so you don't wait until election day to start opening up all of the ballots.
Mm-hmm.
We got all of those counted. We got all in Florida. That's why we were able to give everybody the numbers, and there was not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? The other states better learn to do that. Anyway, we are going to switch subjects. We're going to talk about Obamacare and the Supreme Court with Elizabeth Slattery right after our break.
Well, that'll be the day. When you say goodbye, yes, that'll be the day. When you make me cry, you say you're gonna leave. You know it's a lie, 'cause that'll be the day when I die.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting. Beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
To Old East Channel Radio every Friday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. Do you remember the 50s, 60s, and 70s? Well, we'll be playing the greatest hits as well as plenty of songs from the B-side. This show is sure to bring back memories. So pull out your record collection, adjust your antenna, and listen to Old East Channel Radio Fridays from 7 to 9 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back on a Monday. Thank you very much for joining us here on Freedom Works. By the way, Trump took to the podium this morning to cheer Pfizer's announcement of what they call a 90% effective vaccine in the clinical trials. So, as I say, on the way out the door, Donald Trump not only took care of all these other issues, lowering taxes and getting rid of a lot of these regulations and moving our embassy to Jerusalem and bringing peace with all of these Arab states and Israel. Now he's got the vaccine. You know what? I think I'd be glad to go home and say, you know what? I'm tired of this. I don't know. I'll bet Melania. You know? I'll bet Melania is happy in her own way. All right. We are delighted to have Elizabeth Slattery with us. She is a Supreme Court expert at the Great Pacific Legal Foundation. We got something coming up tomorrow, Elizabeth, with this Obamacare issue, apparently between the states of California versus Texas, challenging Obamacare. So welcome to Freedom Works again. And tell me, is there any chance you think the Supreme Court might actually bring down this Affordable Care Act?
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Our pleasure.
Well, people are calling this, possibly the Obamacare challenge to end all Obamacare challenges, because, of course, this is the seventh time the Supreme Court will hear an issue stemming from that law. It's sort of the Full Employment Act for Supreme Court lawyers.
Yes, you're right.
So the issue in Texas versus California is focused on whether the individual mandate to purchase health insurance, which the court said was a tax in NFIB versus Sebelius, is it still constitutional since Congress got rid of the actual taxing amount in the 2017 tax reform bill.
I find this very interesting. I find this so interesting. John Roberts, being the swing vote, I've never bought his explanation, by the way, because his explanation actually worked against Obamacare as a mandated health care law, I thought. And then at the end he goes, if it's a tax, we can do it, a tax is something that can be levied. So now there's zero tax, right? There's no tax. Republicans, when they won control of both houses, they set the tax at zero. Now, if you set a tax at zero, can you force people to continue to buy it? No, I don't think so. Your thought?
Yeah, that's right. Is a tax still a tax if it doesn't actually generate any revenue? That's a good question, and I think that will be central to the case at the Supreme Court this week. And, of course, in the NFIB decision, a majority of the court said that Congress couldn't enact this pursuant to its Commerce Clause power, but it could do it under the taxing power. So if it isn't a tax, can Congress now fall back on the commerce power, which a majority of the court already said no?
Yeah, this is really interesting. I mean, and then there's the issue of severability, which means that you can slice out a part of something, call it unconstitutional, but the rest of it could stand. I'm thinking, okay, now you're gonna mandate that if you don't buy Obamacare, you're going to, or buy health insurance, you're going to have to pay a tax. Okay, now the tax is gone. I've always wondered, you can't force anybody to buy something, can you? Can the government do that?
Well, that was one of the big things that was debated at the oral argument in NFIB. Justice Antonin Scalia asked the Obama administration Solicitor General, well, under your theory, can we force everyone to go out and buy broccoli because that's good for your health?
Right.
If we can force people into the marketplace for insurance, then why can't we force them to buy broccoli?
You're right. I mean, I think that's he perfectly simplifies it. But I am hearing, Elizabeth, that there is a good chance that every one of the Supreme Court justices will actually allow the Obamacare to stand. Have you heard that theory?
So this goes back to what you were talking about a couple minutes ago with severability. This is a doctrine that the court uses so that it doesn't unnecessarily strike down an entire law. If it can find a way to excise a small portion that presents a constitutional problem and keep the rest of the law in place. And so I think a lot of people are speculating that the court will probably find the individual mandate is unconstitutional, but that it will sever that from the rest of the law. Now, I think that's interesting for two reasons. First of all, because it was considered part of the three-legged stool that would prop up Obamacare. And, you know, we were told at the time that the individual mandate was necessary and essential to making the Affordable Care Act system work. But in practice, it hasn't been necessary for the last few years, since Congress zeroed out the actual tax amount.
The basis for this, and you said the seventh challenge and to Obamacare, this particular one involves the states of our two biggest states, California and Texas. Can you give us a little background, Elizabeth, on what this one is all about?
Yeah, so it's a multi-state challenge on both sides. After Congress zeroed out the tax to the individual mandate in 2017, then a group of states challenged this in federal court along with individual plaintiffs. And the Trump administration did not want to fully defend the law, even though, you know, it was obviously the executive branch and often charged with defending laws even if they don't agree with them. But states like California and some others came in to defend the law more fully because the Trump administration agrees with the other state plaintiffs and the individual plaintiffs that the individual mandate is unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We're talking with Elizabeth Slattery. She is a Supreme Court expert from the Pacific Legal Foundation. We're talking about tomorrow, the Supreme Court will begin hearing on a challenge to Obamacare. It's called California versus Texas. Elizabeth, since the last challenge, two more Supreme Court justices have put on the robes, including Amy Coney Barrett. Excuse me. Do you think it's going to make any difference in terms of, let's just say, before those two came on in the other court, the other ones that we would, do you think that's really going to make a difference in this decision, or do we just not know?
Well, I think it's a little soon to tell. So for the first reason, there were a lot of suggestions throughout Justice Barrett's confirmation process that she should recuse herself in this case. We don't know if she's going to participate or not. I mean, I think there's a good argument to be made that she can participate in this one. Justices don't have to announce in advance why they're recusing or if they're recusing. So I guess the first time we'll find out if she's participating is tomorrow when the oral argument begins. And then Justice Kavanaugh, of course, replaced Justice Kennedy. Justice Kennedy was in the dissent on the taxing issue. So I think that Kavanaugh would likely be a similar vote with Justice Kennedy. So I think Justice Barrett, the change from Ginsburg to Barrett is really the big jurisprudential change on the court, not really Kennedy to Kavanaugh.
Right. Exactly. It's interesting, too. I cannot see Amy Coney Barrett recusing herself. I mean, if she's going to recuse herself about this, it kind of sets a precedent for all of these justices going back to when they were put on the bench and what issues were going on in a way. I mean, you can't do that. She was put on. I don't think Trump said, I'm going to put her on because I want Obamacare overturned. Now, he may personally want that overturned, but does that have anything to do with her? I mean, does she have another connection to this health care issue? Do you know?
She doesn't. And, typically when Supreme Court justices recuse themselves from cases, it's because they have some sort of involvement before. Justice Kavanaugh and Justice Gorsuch have recused themselves in cases where they were on the appeals court that heard the decision and decided that case below before it came up to the Supreme Court. Or Justice Elena Kagan is a great example. She recused herself from cases that started when she was Solicitor General during the Obama administration that would later come to the Supreme Court when she was on the Supreme Court. Other times they'll recuse if they have a financial stake in the case, or if they've publicly commented about a particular issue, although that's really not all that common that happens. But typically it's just if they've participated below, and Justice Barrett wasn't on the Fifth Circuit that heard this case. Her circuit didn't hear a case like this, and so I think, I think she's on solid ground to participate.
Yeah, I agree with you. Absolutely. While I have you, Elizabeth, I want to ask you about the whether or not you think the Supreme Court may have to become involved in the presidential election with all of these different states. I know that the only thought I have is each state sets its own rules regarding voting. And the only way I would think that the Supreme Court would become involved is if there is a case where the election in that particular state goes against its own voting rules. I wanted to get your thought on that.
Yeah, and in the election disputes that have come up in the course of this election, there were a number of emergency petitions that came up to the Supreme Court in the weeks leading up to the election. The court tended to side with, letting state legislatures and state courts be more determinative than when federal courts have gotten involved. I guess we'll see if there's a challenge that ends up going to the Supreme Court. But I think this is the situation we have now with the margin of votes is very different from, what we were looking at with Bush v. Gore, where it was down to one state and just a few counties that were being challenged.
Yeah, in fact, looking back on that Bush v. Gore, which was 20 years ago, hard to believe, isn't it? But it was 20 years ago. I thought the Supreme Court really became involved in it because there was an issue about whether all the votes of the state are going to be counted or if they were only going to just count those states and a couple of counties in the southeast portion of the state because that's where all of the trouble was going on. And then the Supreme Court says, well, wait a second, we're going to step in here now because it looks like some want to just count a certain portion and that would not be fair. Do you recall how that worked?
And seven members of the court agreed that the Florida court scheme for recounting the ballots was unconstitutional because it was setting different standards from ballot to ballot and from county to county.
Right.
And so I think that's something that people forget when we talk about Bush v. Gore is that part of that ruling was 7-2. It wasn't just a party line 5-4 vote.
Right. Yeah, very interesting. I find this, we are all getting a lesson in civics recently, are we not, with all of this stuff going on. Maybe we can learn from it, for future. Elizabeth, always a pleasure to talk with you. I really enjoyed the conversation, and I'm looking forward to talking with you again soon. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Elizabeth Slattery. There we go. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, the count's continuing, as we said, in six of the states, 71 electoral votes. We'll talk with the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceraci, about whether there is any chance that Trump can prevail.
Wake up, it's Susie, wake up.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting. Beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's
733-3773. It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. Now, let's just assume that Donald Trump has to vacate the White House. And we already know that the House will remain Democratic. So that means that we've got a Democrat in the White House and a Democrat in the House of Representatives. However, this makes this Senate runoff in the state of Georgia, I don't know if there's too strong a word. It's much more than critical, much more. We have got Senator David Perdue. He is the incumbent. He's a Republican. He's facing off against John Ossoff, who was a Democrat. That's one of the two Senate races in Georgia that is a runoff. The other one is also a runoff. Can you believe it? Republican Senator Kelly Loeffler is going to go against Democrat Reverend Raphael Warnock. Now, it is tied right now. It is, I think it's 48-48. There are four seats, including Alaska also, which hasn't come in. But Alaska for sure is going to be stay Republican. It's all Republican. It's because they got to go up to, they got some of them coming in by kayak and dog sled. It takes a long time for all the votes to come in. Okay. So we know that Georgia will determine. And if we keep if the Republicans keep the Senate, if they keep the Senate, I don't care what Nancy Pelosi or the Democrats come up with in the House, the Senate with Mitch McConnell, we can block it. It won't go to Joe Biden for a signature, right? So that's why this is so critical. This is so critical. Anyway, we are delighted to have both of the Ceraci brothers with us, I believe. We've got Andrew, the Master Barber, and we've got our Eye in the Northern Sky, Angelo Ceraci. Gentlemen, welcome. Let me start with Angelo. Angelo, I haven't spoken with you since the election.
Yeah.
What is your thought, your feeling? Do you think that Donald Trump should continue to protest the voting and continue to see if he can change it?
Absolutely. 70 million of us who voted for him really expect him to do this. Our votes will be negated because of the way this election was carried on with all the changing of the rules and all that stuff that they did. and with House Rule Number 1 that Nancy Pelosi put in 2 years ago, which was the first thing to start changing these rules.
Right. Are you talking about which particular rule now?
The House Rule Number 1, Nancy Pelosi, when 2 years ago when they took over the the Congress.
Yeah.
They introduced House Rule Number 1, starting with the mail-in ballots and all this other stuff. They knew what by changing the game plan that they could was one of the ways of forcing Donald Trump out of the presidency.
Okay, so they had a game plan to allow mail-in voting, is what you're saying, knowing the Democrats would vote by...
They were trying to change the rules.
Okay,
change the rules. Just so happened that coronavirus came along and helped them out, which they used
right.
And weaponized it.
Mm-hmm. So, Andrew the Master Barber, Donald is going out and continuing his rallies, although... The rallies are now more like, let's keep the pressure on these different precincts, I guess, in these six states, right? Do you think that they should continue doing this? Do you think Donald should pack his bags and say, boy, am I glad I'm out of this? I've given all I can. What do you think?
Well, let me make something very clear first. The election isn't won yet, okay? The news media and the AP press said that Biden wins the election. This election is not over with yet. He is not the president-elect. Until Trump concedes and until all these court cases are filed, this election is not over with, and he is not the president-elect.
Now, there are 71 electoral votes that are involved in the six states, and it would turn it around. I think the Arizona, we spoke about this before, I think the Arizona voting, I think there's still a shot there.
Well, there's a shot in all of these states that are up right now because Sidney Powell was on the television yesterday. They have got 450,000 ballots that were sent in with just Joe Biden's name circled on it and nobody else on these ballots whatsoever. Okay. Now, does that sound a little suspicious to you? People are going to put in 450,000 ballots just for Biden and nobody else on there to be voted for? A bunch of crap, Paul.
Who's Sidney?
There's nothing but fraud going on.
Who is Sidney Powell?
Sidney Powell was the attorney that represented General Flynn.
Okay, got it.
Okay, yes. So she's involved now. According to everything I'm hearing and seeing, this is not over with, Paul. They cheated, there is fraud.
Mm-hmm.
Until I hear that Biden is the president-elect, he has not won.
Well, they're calling him the president-elect. Maybe that's just...
As the media is calling him, Paul. All right. They were calling him that before the election.
No, you're right.
Well,
they have to certify the election. You're right. They have to certify the election.
The thing, too, is that 20 years ago, I heard you were talking when Gore versus Bush. Gore was supposed to be the president-elect for 37 days. They gave Al Gore 37 days to... fight in the courts, the ballots and everything like that, those hanging chairs down in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, nobody found him as president-elect. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
They didn't do what they're doing right now. The media has pushed this along with the Democrats, you know, trying to dismay and take the heat off of the vote count. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, certainly
and
do.
This is what they're trying to do, just to push it through, because I wouldn't put anything past the Democrats, what they have done for the last 4 years when they treated this president and first lady the worst I have ever seen. They just trashed them and the family. Never, that one black congressman, the one that passed away a few months ago, said he was an illegitimate president.
Oh, you're talking about the Atlanta guy? The guy
yeah, the
from
Atlanta
Georgia.
Congressman that passed away.
Right.
He called him an illegitimate president. The Democrats were calling him illegitimate, the whole nine yards. They treated this person terrible. As far as I'm concerned, Biden right now is illegitimate. Because
I agree with you.
The way they have conducted themselves in trying to steal this election, they have done this for 4 years. The Mueller votes, investigation,
yeah.
This investigation, that investigation.
No, they have tried every which way, and it doesn't put it past, I wouldn't put it past them to try to steal this election in any way they could.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it just falls. Their M.O. I mean, anybody could see what they have done for 4 years, and going into this election, they would do the same thing.
So
let me ask you a question.
Please, go ahead.
How many times in 4 years has Trump lost at what he's been trying to do?
He's got a great success ratio. I guess we could say, you know, he hasn't completed some of the things, but he's still in the process. I'm thinking like...
That's right, Paul.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
Okay, with what's going on now, we know there's voter fraud. I was out yesterday. I was holding up signs again for Stop the Steal. And I cannot believe the response you're getting. Non-stop blasting horns, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Trump's track record is win, win, win. He was right in the Russia collusion investigation. Okay? Even though the stuff hasn't come out yet with Comey and everybody else, which I think is a bunch of baloney. It should have been out before this election. He is going to win this one too, Paul. Mm-hmm. You got the proof, believe me.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to let them hang themselves. This is going to go to the Supreme Court. But Biden is not the president-elect. I cannot be more clear about that.
Okay.
Until this is over.
That's Andrew the Master Barber speaking. Angelo, Philadelphia precincts. I remember when I was a kid, we even kids knew back in Chicago that there was some hanky-panky going on, especially when John Kennedy beat Richard Nixon. It was because of the Chicago voting and Mayor Daley.
Right. They came up with 100,000 votes for Kennedy.
Yeah, and a lot of them were in the graveyards. They voted right from the graveyards. So
then Richard Nixon's campaign was telling him to not concede, but he felt he didn't want...
For the good of the country.
He didn't want to put the country through this.
He actually was quite noble about it. You're right.
Yes.
So we got the Philadelphia precincts. I think they're... Angela, I think that there's a similar, because they've had issues with people. I remember when Romney was running against Obama, there was precincts like 100,000 to nothing. How can that be for Obama with no votes for Romney? You remember that? Go ahead. I'm sorry. Let me ask Angela, then I'll get you on this, Andrew. You remember that, Angelo?
Yes, I do.
So how can you trust any vote counting? How can you trust it inside the Philadelphia precincts?
You can't unless you have poll watchers standing right next to these people to see what they're doing.
Yeah. Okay, Andrew, what's your thought on that? Go ahead.
You know, Paul, first of all, I could understand why Romney lost, even if there wasn't voter fraud, because the guy was a moron. Okay?
Wait. Why didn't you like him? Just for a thought, a moment. Why didn't you like Romney when he ran against Obama?
Romney was nothing but a rhino. He bends over backwards to kiss people's butts just like the Democrats do. The guy has no backbone whatsoever.
Okay, well, you answered that directly. All right, proceed with the Philadelphia deal.
And you know, Paul, let me tell you right now, Trump's not only fighting the Democrats. How many Republicans have actually come out to back up Trump? Every freaking Republican should. Where's Marco Rubio? Where's Rick Scott? You don't hear a word out of them.
I heard Rick Scott.
They have no backbone either.
I haven't heard Marco Rubio, however. They are few and far between. Yes, go ahead. What about... are you happy with Lindsey Graham being reelected in South Carolina? I think he's an important cog.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good one, Paul. But until this fraud is over and brought up, this will just keep going on and going. This has been going on for 30 years, Paul. It needs to be stopped, and President Trump is the one to put the stop to this crap once and for all.
If we don't fight this voter fraud and all this stuff, they'll continue to do it, and no Republican will ever be elected again.
Mm-hmm.
Never.
So, Angelo, if you were a betting man, and I don't know that you are, do you think Biden will be made president, or do you think there's a good chance that Trump...
Well, I don't know. Right now, I feel the country, from the top on down, is as corrupt as can be. And if they allow this to happen, we as a nation are done. I don't know. I mean, right now, I don't have any faith in the American electoral system because of the way it's being done.
Yeah,
they
that's
have changed
very,
laws you're not, and everything like that. I mean, mm-hmm. if they followed the Constitution and they have one vote, one person, voter ID, everything else, you know, that goes along with it, there would be a fair election. But I don't think, it not being fair now, I think they're all against Trump, and they just don't want him in there. And somehow, I don't know if he's going to be able to get the presidency.
You know, it's funny, for years we laughed at other countries because they had this problem.
Right, right.
Remember Russia and all those supposedly voting, and it was all corrupt? Now it's here.
Yeah, that's kind of scary.
How about when we send, like we used to send former President Carter and all our dignitaries to other countries
to
make
monitor.
Sure that voter, that there was no voter fraud and all this other stuff.
It's kind of hypocritical, isn't it, right now? I want to ask.
It's very hypocritical.
Yeah, yeah.
What we have right now is a third world voting system.
Yeah, that's scary.
Our government is so corrupt, from the FBI, Secret Service, CIA, I don't know about the Secret Service, but
yeah.
the CIA and everything else.
Yeah, we need a clean sweep, don't
corrupt.
We?
Corrupt.
Mm. Let me ask Andrew. Andrew, let's say that, you know, no matter what, let's say Biden wins. Okay, do you think Donald Trump would come back and run again?
Oh, yeah, definitely. There's no, he's going to have to come back and run, because if they're in there for 4 years, there's going to be more destruction in this country than the people imagine. Wait till these people that voted for Biden see the gas pumps go up to $4.50 a gallon, Paul.
You think
wait till they see a 3% tax on the value of their home every year, because they want to give the money to the illegal aliens that are going to pour through the walls. They're going to have to give up their spare bedroom to put a Somali in there to take care of them.
Oh,
are
my
you
God.
Kidding me? Paul, let me tell you something. This is not over with. This country's at a turning point. And let me tell you something. If this election isn't done right and the Supreme Court doesn't check for voter fraud, you're going to see a revolution started in this country.
You think so?
Don't think it won't happen.
Really?
I believe it very, very strongly.
If the Republicans take the Senate, right, and it's the Senate is Democrat, White House is Democrat, and Congress is Democrat, no Republican, including Donald Trump, will ever win again. Because they will change this country. What's his name there?
You mean if Democrats? You mean if Democrats take the Senate, not Republicans? Yeah. If Democrats take the Senate.
If the Democrats take the Senate, right?
Yeah, right.
That's my mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Chuckie Schumer said that they're going to change America.
Yeah, they're using.
They will reshape America like we will never know.
That's why we said it is so important in Georgia to get these two Republican, you guess what? We only have to get one of the two. We only have to get one of those two elected Republican, okay?
Yeah, but it's going to be pretty hard, because right now, 48-48, right?
Well, 48-48, but again, we've got some other votes coming in late that are going to be...
Stop me if you heard that before.
Yeah, in Alaska. Yes, indeed. But this is in Alaska. I don't know that the Eskimos are cheating, but they got the kayak votes still coming in. They got the mules, dog sled votes still coming in. You know, that's why it's taking so long up there. It's going to be a Republican.
You know, the thing is that what a farce. I mean, this here is a third world election we have going on right now.
Yeah.
I mean... Like last night, I was listening to Levin. I mean,
Mark Levin.
Important.
Mark Levin, you're talking about.
Yes, he had a former federal elections commissioner on last night, and he says they changed laws so much. That's how I found out about House Rule Number 1 in 2018.
Yeah, I didn't know about that one.
Which I heard last night that this former election commissioner was talking about that.
Very conspiratorial.
House Rule Number 1, the first rule that Nancy Pelosi put in. Was that thing about the election?
Yeah. Gentlemen, it has been a pleasure talking with both of you. Andrew, I will be talking with you again tomorrow. Angelo, always a pleasure. Thank you so much, both of you.
Thank you. I'll be golfing while you
guys are... Hey, guys, on a lighter note, I just saw a photo of Jeffrey Epstein, and he had a sticker on his shirt that said, I voted.
Believe it. There's no question about it. There's no question. We know, Paul... I do not believe for 1 second that 74 million people voted for that moron in this country. There is no way that alone is going to tell you there is voter fraud.
Yeah. Well, let's see what happens. And as you say to me so many times, I say to both of you, may the Trump be with you.
You got Thank it, you. Buddy. Trump be with you.
Okay.
Take care.
There they are, the brothers Sorese. Going to take our break. When we come back, Frank Lund's a big-time pollster. He urges all pollsters to get into real estate or some other profession.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcast Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest-running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question. Get an answer. Free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back for the final segment of Freedom Works. By the way, we come to you every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tantalk Radio Network. We follow another great show, Good Morning Clearwater. However, if you cannot listen to us live, thanks to Big Ed, you can listen to our podcast any old time of the day that you'd like. All you have to do is go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, and look up at the top and click on it. Ed's got all our programs there in chronological order with the newest first, ourfreedomworks.com. Well, Frank Lund, you know who he is, Ed, Frank Lund?
Nope.
Frank Lund appears on Fox News and other places.
Okay.
He's a pollster.
Probably so.
Yeah, he's a pollster. And he says, and he warned about this before the results, mm-hmm. he says that the credibility of the pollster profession has been irreversibly damaged. Mm-hmm. Irreversibly. They were all wrong, no matter what. No matter what, they were all wrong because it was so close. When they were predicting, for instance, that in Ohio, that Biden was ahead and he and Trump wins by like 7 or 8 points. And in Florida, Biden's ahead and Trump wins by 3 or 4 points. And all of these other places. They had Wisconsin. They had Biden winning by 17 points.
Yeah, and I was more surprised when when the polls closed in Arizona 15 minutes later, the media called Biden the winner.
Well, not at Fox. They waited for quite a while before they called.
No, Biden. Fox was the first one. I was watching that.
Not Arizona.
Yes, because in fact, Trump tweeted out, "I'm surprised at Fox."
Well, it wasn't the first 15 minutes. I mean, maybe
it was
early. You're saying it was early.
It was early.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, "What? They just closed."
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, because they're out there on. Are they on
Mountain Time?
They are Mountain Time now. Yeah. Okay. Well, here's what Lund says. I think what is happening is accountability in action. And if you get it wrong this time, you get it wrong twice in a row. You should not be working in this business. There are other things you can do. You can sell real estate. I found that to be very interesting. Okay, before we get to our top 10, by the way, it's a great one. I was watching what I thought was going to be a very contested football game on Sunday Night Football between our beloved Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the New Orleans Saints. What happened, Ed?
Well, wait a minute. Wait. The Saints just scored again.
You are funny. Wasn't it like 31-0?
38-3.
No, but I mean, it was at one point 31-0.
Yes, it was.
What happened?
I don't know. Brady was way off. I mean, I tried to find fault in other. I mean, there was a few routes. And Antonio Brown, the new guy, ran the wrong route once, but he got picked off. There was some, you know, bad bounces, but he was off. He was off by a couple inches.
This is one of these games you say, look, we had a bad day.
He's 43 years old. It was a gusty, windy night.
You know, Monty Kiffin, the old defense coordinator, say what you do is you look at that tape and then you burn it. And you
move
on.
Are you more impressed now with Drew Brees and the Saints?
No, they are who they are, but they're not consistent. They're not consistent at all.
Mm-hmm.
So,
do you still think that the Bucs have a shot at the Super Bowl?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I think they're still in it. I think all they're right. still better than a lot of teams. But they're really going to have to find out what's wrong.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it. Okay. Yeah. It is time for our top 10. I'll get over to the drums. I think you'll like this one. The top 10 closest presidential elections in history. You ready? Number 10. Nixon versus Hubert Humphrey in 1968 in the Electoral College, where you have to win 270 votes, by the way. You have to win 270 to become president. It was 301 to 191 for Nixon. Number 9, Jimmy Carter over Gerald Ford, 1976. Very close in the Electoral College, 297 to 240. All right, number 8. Grover Cleveland over a guy by the name of James G. Blaine, 1884. In the Electoral College, though, it was 219 to 182. Now, qualify this. There were fewer electoral votes.
Did you vote for Blaine?
I knew that was coming up. I voted for his father earlier. No. Grover Cleveland. There was a pitcher by the name of Grover Cleveland.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, where are we? Don't get me screwed up anymore like that. Number 7, George W. Bush over John Kerry. Did you know that was that close?
Really?
Yeah. In 2004, it was 286 to 251.
Mm.
Wow. Number 6, Thomas Jefferson over John Adams. They would both become presidents, but I guess this is 1800. Not as many states around at that time. The Electoral College vote, 73 to 65. All right, number 5. Woodrow Wilson, he was president during World War I, over Charles Evans Hughes, 1916. That was in the middle of the war. And Electoral College, 277 to 254, very close. Number 4. John Adams over Thomas Jefferson. Two more that would be present. 1796, 71 to 68. Number 3, George W. Bush over Al Gore. Of course, we were just talking about that, right? And that one, that was in 2000, 20 years ago, 271 to 266.
Wow.
Now, that means there are two more. Number 2, and I wasn't around for it, so don't even bother bringing it up, but Rutherford B. Hayes over Samuel Tilden in 1876. Listen to this, 185 to 184.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? Okay, Ed. I know you have no idea, but just for fun, just name it. Name any president.
Let's go with Obama.
Okay. The answer.
First one.
Okay, the first Obama.
Yeah.
Yeah, when he ran against Romney.
Yes.
Okay. The answer is, actually, John Quincy Adams. Mm-hmm. He was the sixth president over Andrew Jackson.
Oh.
It was 99 to 84, but it was the percentage of votes that were popular votes that made the difference. Anyway, there we go. Thank you so very much. We will be back tomorrow. Remember, freedom works.
And a quick traffic note, the Sunshine Skyway Bridge is closed until further notice. It could be days because of the high winds.
Oh, boy.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
This is